Once you get him in the building, do not let him leave. Do not let John Harbaugh leave without having him sign the dotted line. That's right, the Baltimore Ravens fired John Harbaugh yesterday, and that has completely changed the landscape of the New York Giants head coaching search. And I'm super excited to discuss this, Alex, because John Harbaugh, immediately the number one candidate for the New York Giants to pursue in this head coaching cycle. And I'm telling you, once they have him in for that interview, you get that whole offensive line to stand in front of the exit and block him from leaving until he signs the contract. This is the number one candidate for the Giants. This is who I want. This is a dream scenario come true for the Giants, but now they have to close. And there's a lot of different factors to dive into. Will he want Joe Shane to be his general manager? Could that cause a change in the Giants front office, or is he happy being collaborative with Joe Shane? That's something to discuss here. And also, why John Harbaugh? Why is he the number one head coaching candidate for the New York Giants to consider? A lot of reasons to dive into that and a lot to discuss. This is Fireside Giants. I'm your host, Anthony Rivardo, joined by my co-host, Alex Wilson. Alex, let me hear your immediate reaction to the news that John Harbaugh is now available and that he and the Giants have mutual interest.
I mean, guys, 2 weeks ago, we were talking about potential first-year head coaches, you know, talking about the Shulas, the Halfleys of the world, the Minters of the world. And yeah, there's some damn good options. I'm still very excited for the Giants to interview. But in no world did we actually think John Harbaugh would be available on the market. And listen, we talked about it. The Giants need a leader. They need someone who's going to rebuild their program in a way that implements discipline, but also a friendly environment for players to collaborate, give their input, and ultimately change. The Giants need to have a collaborative team from top to bottom, whether it's the players, whether it's the coaches. They've had one of the most non-collaborative environments to play in how long? They didn't even start listening to the players until Shane Bowen was literally, his seat was so hot, he couldn't sit on it. You know what I mean? Like, it took him all the way until literally the last week of his tenure with us to finally listen to the defensive players and what they wanted to do. So I have to say, this is a monumental change for the Giants. I know some people out there are going to say, I don't want John Harbaugh. He's old. He's another Pete Carroll. That is not true. That is not true. This dude, John Harbaugh, is one of the most winning coaches of all time. He has the most away victories in the playoffs of all time. This is like, you know, one of those players that you simply can't just look the other way for. He is a program builder, Anthony, and we're going to dive into that. And guys, if you like John Harbaugh, make sure to hit that like button below for us on Fireside Giants. Helps us spread the information and the community, and we really appreciate that. So if you're just tuning in, you're not a subscriber, make sure to subscribe. We're doing deep dives into all of these candidates every single day. You will not miss a piece of Giants news here on Fireside Giants, and we're here to make sure that this channel and this page is to the best of its ability for you. So Anthony, tell me about the program builder. I know this is a big phrase for you that you really love. John Harbaugh is the epitome of it all.
He is. Last offseason, when it was a question, are the Giants going to keep Brian Daboll or are they going to fire him and start over? Last offseason, I made the argument that they should fire Daboll because they need a program builder. That was the key term that I was using back then, and that's the key term that you're seeing people use about John Harbaugh right now. They're calling him a program builder, and that's what I've been banging the table for. The Giants don't just need a head coach who can scheme things up. They don't need a head coach who can, you know, dial up a master defense or a master offense. No, they need a head coach who can step in, change the program, bring in a brand new culture, and reinstill the Giants way. And John Harbaugh is the man for that job. He is a program builder, just like his brother Jim Harbaugh. Look at what Jim Harbaugh has done since he took over the Los Angeles Chargers. You could probably expect something very similar to take place if John Harbaugh takes over the New York Giants. At the time, the Chargers, well, they were a middling franchise. Brandon Staley had flamed out. He was a first-time head coach, a great coordinator, but he just was not a good head coach. They had the pieces like a franchise quarterback. They had some key defensive pieces as well on that Chargers team. They just needed somebody to rebuild their program. Jim Harbaugh stepped in and did that. John Harbaugh did that 20 years ago almost with the Baltimore Ravens. He could do it again here with the New York Giants. That's what they need. If you listen to what the New York Giants players said during the locker room cleanouts, what do they want from their next head coach? They want somebody who's disciplinary. They want accountability in the locker room, and they want a brand new culture. That is what the players have stated. That is what John Harbaugh could bring to the New York Giants. That new program is so crucial because the way that the Giants do things right now, it's a mess. They're dysfunctional. Like you mentioned with the whole Shane Bowen saga, that guy should have been fired. Actually, he should have been fired before the season even began, let alone fired midseason. He shouldn't have even been the defensive coordinator of the Giants. But why was he? Well, the head coach didn't build a sufficient program, and he wasn't able to bring in a new defensive coordinator, and he wasn't able to keep everybody in line. There was tension from the head coach through the coaching staff, from the coaching staff to the players, tension all over the place. That has not been the case until very recently with the Baltimore Ravens, and that's because John Harbaugh, well, I just think he needs a change of scenery. I think things have just gotten to a point in Baltimore where they want to try something new. And let me tell you this, the grass is not always greener, my friends. Baltimore, I think you're making a mistake. John Harbaugh is an elite head coach. He is a Hall of Fame head coach. I don't really understand the rationale behind the Ravens making this move, but hey, one man's trash is another man's treasure in this situation for the New York Giants. This would be a treasure for the Giants. And let me make a comparison, Alex. This, to me, John Harbaugh being fired here and moving on, this reminds me of two situations. One, Mike Vrabel being fired by the Tennessee Titans. Clearly a great head coach. And what was he described as? A program builder. He was a guy that needed a change of scenery to go in, find the team with a franchise quarterback and some key pieces, build the program, and turn them into overnight contenders. That's what he did with the New England Patriots. And you know what else this reminds me of, Alex? How about a very long, successful run from a guy who could be a future Hall of Fame coach, Andy Reid with the Philadelphia Eagles. Gets fired, goes to the Kansas City Chiefs, builds a freaking dynasty. Now, I'm not saying that John Harbaugh is going to build a dynasty with the New York Giants by any means, but I'm saying the comparison, the similarities, they are there for John Harbaugh to have just needed a change of scenery, find a new program to rebuild, and bring success to a franchise that desperately needs a new leader. So you asked me to talk about the program building aspect of it. That's it, man. That is the number one selling point to the New York Giants. That's why John Harbaugh is going to be at the top of their list. And I actually think the Giants might be pretty high up on Harbaugh's list as well. And that's where I'll segue it over to you, Alex. Why is this the right place for John Harbaugh?
I mean, listen, you just, I'll give you an example that I saw yesterday on Twitter. You want to know who was ripping the Ravens to shreds? And I think this guy's opinion is pretty worthwhile listening to. You know, this guy had more than, it was a couple paragraphs on Twitter of value as to why the Ravens just made a catastrophic mistake. And the guy who was talking is Tony Dungy. Usually Tony Dungy is someone you want to listen to when it comes to these types of things. So, you know, John Harbaugh, I mean, let's talk about what he brings. And obviously I'll dive into kind of why the Giants are a good fit. But simply enough, John Harbaugh is available. And frankly, the debate kind of ends there, Anthony. I don't think there really is a debate. If you want to know what this guy's resume looks like, we're talking about, you're not talking about like a flavor of the month coordinator. You're not talking about even a Shula or a Kubiak or a guy that it's a one-hit wonder potentially, or maybe it's a one good year and then a regression like we've seen with other guys. I like all these guys. They're very, very interesting and intriguing and have so much talent, but unproven. And I think that's where you have to take a step back and say, Harbaugh's a guy who spent 18 years in the AFC North. I don't think you guys understand that is the toughest division in football and has been for decades. He walked away with 180 wins. That's 14th all time. You're talking about a guy who consistently puts together a team that beats the best football teams in the game every single year. And for the most part, that has been the case. Now you think about the Giants last decade, instability, losing streaks, coaches learning on the job. Harbaugh is the antidote to all of those problems. In two decades, the guy has three losing seasons. 18 years, he has three losing seasons. We have three losing seasons under Brian Daboll in the last four. You know, the floor-raising ability from Harbaugh, you're not trying to rerun his glory days, but you're trying to get back on the horse here. We're not even on the horse. We're watching everybody run away. So, like, the stats that really point out, I mentioned the eight road wins. That's most of all times, an NFL record. But that just shows like his team is capable of going into really difficult scenarios and winning really important football games. And Anthony, we talked about, we need a CEO at coach. He is a CEO. Like, that is what his role is. He came up through special teams. He doesn't just look at defense, doesn't just look at offense. He looks at the whole scope of the team. And I think that's super important. Obviously, we're talking about a guy who won a Super Bowl with Joe Flacco. And he's not like an unmoldable either. He reinvented an entire offense. He built an offense for Lamar Jackson. So like when you're talking about what Harbaugh is going to bring to the Giants. He's not going to come and plug like a plug and play system that says Jackson Dart, you have to play in my offense. You can't like change. You have to be this type of player. He's going to come in and he's going to bring in guys who are going to formulate an entire system around his talent. Right? He's going to say, look at the strengths, look at the weaknesses. Let's leverage those strengths. The Giants haven't done that in maybe a decade, and I'm excited at the possibility that we have a coach that might be able to pull something like that off and build something for this guy, for Jackson Dart. And that, in my opinion, is a huge selling point.
That is a huge selling point for John Harbaugh as well, to kind of like circle it back to the question that I asked you. Why would Harbaugh be attracted? Because he can build something for one of the most promising young quarterbacks in the NFL. That is super attractive for Harbaugh. And there's other pieces as well. I mean, you're talking about the defensive line with Brian Burns, Abdul Carter, Dexter Lawrence. Someone questioned why I keep omitting Kayvon Thibodeau when I go through that list of defensive linemen. Let's be honest, guys. Kayvon Thibodeau is probably not here next year. I think he's a top trade candidate for the Giants, but I'll digress off that for now. Maybe we'll touch that in a future episode, but you started to touch on it there, building something for the players. Let me talk about the John Harbaugh coaching tree, Alex. This is one of the most attractive selling points if you're looking to hire John Harbaugh. Not only does he develop coordinators and coaches, because he has done that. Jesse Minter is a top head coaching candidate in the cycle. Where did he cut his teeth? Under John Harbaugh with the Baltimore Ravens as a defensive assistant. Eventually goes, becomes a DC on Jim Harbaugh's staff. Now he's, of course, still the DC there with Los Angeles and becoming a top head coaching candidate. In fact, Alex, bold prediction here. Maybe it's not that bold. Jesse Minter is going to be the next head coach of the Baltimore Ravens. That's my opinion of it. But digressing off that, let's talk about some of the guys that have developed under John Harbaugh, or even just some of the elite coaches that he's hired. This is something I've talked a lot about recently. When you're looking at a guy like Kevin Stefanski, let's use him as an example here. He didn't necessarily develop a great defensive coordinator. What did he do? He said, okay, you know what? I'm an offensive-minded coach. I can handle that side of the ball. Let me go hire an elite former head coach, premium defensive coordinator, just run that side of the ball for me. That's what Stefanski did. That is something that John Harbaugh has done repeatedly throughout his tenure as the head coach of the Baltimore Ravens. So let's talk about some of these guys. How about Mike McDonald, head coach of the Seattle Seahawks right now? That's someone who came up through the Harbaugh ranks, developed under Harbaugh, and became an elite defensive coordinator, and is now running one of the best teams in the NFL with the Seattle Seahawks. But it's not just him. There's other guys. How about going all the way back? Chuck Pagano was the defensive coordinator under John Harbaugh. He ended up becoming an incredible coach with the Indianapolis Colts. Even Rex Ryan, Alex. Rex Ryan worked under John Harbaugh on the defensive side of the ball. So did David Culley. He was an assistant head coach under Harbaugh. He became the head coach of the Houston Texans. Mike Pettine ended up becoming the head coach of the Cleveland Browns. He was a defensive assistant under John Harbaugh. And how about Vic Fangio? Arguably the best defensive mind in all of football. He was already an elite defensive mind when John Harbaugh brought him in, but hey, he got even better under Harbaugh's tutelage. So did Hugh Jackson. That was somebody from the offensive side of the ball. Hugh Jackson was not a successful head coach. In fact, he was a really bad one, but he was a great quarterbacks coach under John Harbaugh. That's why he got the head coaching job. And again, going to some of these guys who were already established, like Jim Schwartz with the Kevin Stefanski, we've talked about that. But how about the fact that when John Harbaugh was building an offensive staff for Joe Flacco, he said, how do I maximize him? Let me go grab Gary Kubiak. Let me go bring Gary Kubiak over here to run that offense. Then they had an elite, super-powered offense. They ended up winning a Super Bowl thanks to that hiring. He did it once again with Jim Caldwell in 2013 when he was also the offensive coordinator over there. So Don Wink, Martindale, we've talked about him at Exhaust. Of course, we know that he was a great defensive mind and coordinator under John Harbaugh. Greg Roman helped architect that first MVP season for Lamar Jackson. And now you've got Todd Monken over there being the offensive coordinator for the Ravens, overseeing the second MVP candidate season for Lamar Jackson. And of course, he is now a top head coaching candidate. He's going to be doing interviews this cycle for head coaching gigs. So essentially, the point I'm making, the Harbaugh tree, the roots run deep. There are so many branches of this tree that you look at and say, elite coach, elite coach. And it's not just that he developed coaches to become elite. He's also picking coaches who are elite and attracting them onto his staff. This is one of the biggest lessons that we just learned with the last two head coaches of the New York Giants. Coordinators matter maybe more than anything. You have to hire good coordinators. With Brian Daboll, he couldn't get the defensive coordinator hiring right after Wink Martindale left. And also, he didn't treat Wink Martindale well, so he didn't create a long-term sustainable relationship there. That was an issue. John Harbaugh, he has long-term relationships with his coordinators. He scouts them, he attracts them, and he keeps them. That's important. Super, super important. But not only does he develop coordinators, he also just attracts great ones like Kubiak and others that we mentioned here. So what I know about the New York Giants, they will, if they hire John Harbaugh, they will also hire great coordinators to run each side of the ball. Like you said, he's a CEO, he's a program builder. He's going to build one of the best coaching staffs in football, like he does on a perennial basis, like he has on a perennial basis with the Baltimore Ravens. That's what the New York Giants need. They need him to bring in an elite defensive coordinator and an elite offensive coordinator, run both sides of that ball while he just maintains the program. That is why I'm so excited about the possibility of John Harbaugh, Alex. I know for a fact that we wouldn't get, like when Joe Judge was hired, we wouldn't get a Jason Garrett strolling in here and basically killing the Giants offense. No, it's not going to be a Jason Garrett. It's going to be a legitimate great offensive mind. It's going to be a legitimate great defensive mind. Those are going to be the guys who are running the show on each side of the ball for the New York Giants. That's something I'm so excited about. Alex, what is your kind of opinion and thoughts there on how deep that the roots of that John Harbaugh coaching tree run?
I mean, listen, you mentioned it. Rex Ryan, obviously Chuck Pagano, you know, Mike McDonald. There is a lot of talent coming from this guy. Now, obviously, the positives are well documented. I think that we've kind of rattled off quite a lot of them already. So let's try to play devil's advocate for a second and give you guys a fair balancing act. And, you know, what are the drawbacks of John Harbaugh? What are the things that we should be maybe slightly concerned about? And then we'll talk about them. Are they legitimate concerns for us? So, Anthony, you know, just right off the bat, talk about the coordinators, you know, connect the dots there. There have been times with John Harbaugh where he's so loyal that he will refuse to fire guys that are not actually performing that well. So that's one of the slight drawbacks that he's had in the past. He'll hang on to guys for an extra year or two that can be problematic. But if he gets the hires right, they're like insanely good. But then they get hired as head coaches and you're back to square one. So it's like sometimes sure. There's a light balancing act there.
That's actually a good point to bring up because that's one of the reasons reportedly that John Harbaugh was fired because he refused to fire the defensive coordinator. I believe it's Zach Orr right now for the Baltimore Ravens. He was hired after Mike McDonald left, of course. This was not a good replacement. The Baltimore Ravens defense regressed significantly despite actually having additional talent brought in. Not that they lost any key players. They brought in more players. This defense should have taken a step forward, but it was schematically poor, and yet John Harbaugh refused to fire Zach Orr. So that is a very valid argument there. He is very loyal. And that was a problem for Brian Daboll. He was too loyal to Shane Bowen, refused to fire him. Shane Bowen didn't get fired until Mike Kafka took over as the interim head coach. Then Kafka ended up firing Shane Bowen. So that loyalty, it can be valuable, it can be important, but it also can be an Achilles heel. So I think that's a really good point to bring up there as a potential, I wouldn't call it a red flag, but a yellow flag, let's call it, for John Harbaugh.
Yeah, it's just something to keep tabs on. I wonder if he would go and try to like get Monken, obviously, which, you know, is not my preference, but we keep hearing Davis Webb's name pop up. Maybe that would be an interesting OC for him. You know, a guy that has a lot of really good experience with quarterbacks. Like the quarterbacks love him. Daniel Jones regressed significantly when Davis Webb left the roster for the Broncos. So like, you know, you maybe look in that direction and say, I wonder if Davis Webb would be a good OC for Jackson Dart. He's a really good a coach for a player like that, maybe up-and-coming name. He's being fast-tracked in the NFL. A young guy to bring in to pair with Harbaugh instead of one of those older heads. Maybe somebody to consider. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I talked about Davis Webb at length in yesterday's episode that was detailing Vance Joseph because the Giants are planning on interviewing Vance Joseph. This obviously was before the John Harbaugh news broke, so I didn't have that information. But Davis Webb is obviously a top candidate for the offensive coordinator position around the NFL, no matter which head coach gets hired by the Giants. But Vance Joseph being on the Broncos staff, that's why I brought Davis Webb into that conversation. But Davis Webb would be a sick hiring. If you read about it, Davis Webb was instrumental in the New York Giants' success in 2022 as a player coach, developing Daniel Jones behind the scenes. And then he went over to the Denver Broncos, and Bo Nix has had nothing but high praise for Davis Webb and what he's done to help Bo Nix develop into a very promising young quarterback through the first two seasons of his career. People overlook the fact that Bo Nix did have 29 passing touchdowns as a rookie. That was an NFL record, and Davis Webb had a lot to do with that. and Davis Webb has not called plays for the Denver Broncos yet, not in the regular season at least. Sean Payton handles that, but he did call plays during the preseason, and he received a lot of praise for his ability to call those plays, to keep rhyming like a little poet here. So I like Davis Webb. He would be very exciting candidate for the OC position if the New York Giants do bring in John Harbaugh. But Alex, let me kind of counterpoint here. Do you not like Todd Monken? I mean, Todd Monken's getting head coaching looks. He's going to interview for a couple of jobs this offseason. Obviously, he's been the OC for a few seasons now under John Harbaugh and the Baltimore Ravens. Lamar Jackson was an MVP under Todd Monken. He was a runner-up for MVP last season under Todd Monken. What are your thoughts on Todd Monken? Because I feel like he's a polarizing candidate. He's a divisive figure here because he's had a lot of success offensively. Sure, the Baltimore Ravens offense has been a powerhouse engine the last few years, but when they get into the playoffs, sometimes the play calling on the offensive side of the ball fizzles out, and then they end up losing games as a result. So I want to hear your take on Todd Monken. What if John Harbaugh wants to bring him over to this staff if the Giants were to hire him? Would you be excited about that, or would you rather see him go in a new direction on the offensive side of the ball?
I mean, listen, the holdovers are kind of, they're hit or miss, right? The familiarity is nice, I think. He kind of looks at Todd Monken as like his engine on the offensive side, right? Like he trusts him a lot. But he is a modern type of coach. Like he does have the ability to build an entire system, and he did that for Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson. So I do wonder if Monken would be a decent fit for this team, and that familiarity would definitely like expedite the process of building a program. So that would, I think my if Monken doesn't get a head coaching job, which I think in this cycle probably doesn't just because Harbaugh gets fired and, you know, there's some ifs and what's about it. But I do think, however, when you look at just the familiarity of bringing in a guy that just worked with you for a couple seasons and, you know, you can essentially walk in day one and have a whole system ready to implement, that's pretty attractive for ownership. You know what I mean? If you're John Mara, you're like, if I bring in Chris Shula, if I bring in Halfley, it's going to be it's a mess at the beginning, right? Like they're trying to find coordinators. They're trying to find this. They're trying to find that. They're trying to be a head coach for the first time. Like that program is going to take probably a year to build. Realistically, it's a year. And in the meantime, like a lot of times other teams, it takes a year for them to catch up to what the new system looks like. It's crazy. So it's just mayhem the first season. Then it kind of starts to fall into place a little bit more seamlessly. John Harbaugh, though, you bring Todd Monken with you, who isn't a bad coach by any means. People will be like, oh, I hate him, blah, blah. Lamar Jackson barely played during the regular season this year, guys. Like, he was injured all the time. And, you know, obviously their offensive line regressed. There was some problems, but I'll say this before I hand it back to you, Anthony. Bringing Todd Monken, the plus on that side of things, you're going to be able to expedite the process of your program building. And that is a good selling point, and I do think that is a worthwhile one to discuss.
It's definitely a worthwhile one to discuss, and I'll say this about Todd Monken. The floor is so damn high with Todd Monken, right? That's the point here. If it's Todd Monken, I'm not upset about it because the floor is so high. I mean, the Giants offense would be good. We know that. He's been a great offensive coordinator for years. My concern with Todd Monken is sometimes I watch the Ravens, and I really like watching Ravens football. Like, I've been a big fan of Harbaugh. One of my best friend, Cameron, I know he's watching this episode. He's going to be excited for this one. He's a diehard Baltimore Ravens fan, so I watch Ravens games with him all the time. And so I see the way that offense runs in the first half of games and how it changes in the second half of games. I see Derrick Henry just dominates for three quarters, and then in the fourth quarter when they really need to kill some clock, all of a sudden they start throwing the ball and they cause themselves games. And that happened last year in the playoffs. That happened, I would say, actually on Sunday night, that loss versus the Steelers. Why not keep feeding Derrick Henry? He was dominating the first quarter or so. I mean, and then in the second half, he stopped getting the ball. Lamar Jackson turned it on. But again, that's kind of the point here with Todd Monken. The floor is really high, but sometimes in those situations, the play calling has been a little bit suspect, and I think it's cost the Ravens some really big games. But that's not my concern right now because the Giants haven't played in any big games for a very long time. So I just want to see this floor get elevated, which I think is what would happen if you hire Harbaugh and if he hired Todd Monken. But you got something to say?
I always raise my hand just to make sure you get your point across. But I just want to build on top of that because this is the information I think that if you're watching Fireside Giants, like, this is what you come for. Like I said, if you are not subscribed, subscribe now because you're just constantly going to walk away with value. And when you go to talk to your friends about this, you're going to know more than them. So when it comes to Todd Monken, why would you hire Todd Monken? A lot of people probably don't know who he is, what he's done, his background. And Anthony, you just gave a pretty good kind of description there. But why does he fit for Jackson Dart? You know, why is he a good coach for Jackson Dart? I'll give you the number one reason he's a good coach for Jackson Dart. He transformed Lamar Jackson to a run-first passer, a run-first quarterback, chaotic player, into a pocket passer who only runs when he needs to. That's what the Giants want to do with Jackson Dart. They want him to be able to operate from the pocket and only run when he has to. That's how you preserve your quarterback's health. That's what people are banging the table about. Munkin did that with Lamar Jackson. He still, it was an MVP, not this past season, but the year before, 2024, was an MVP candidate. You know what I mean? So it's like, you're talking about a guy who definitely knows what to do. I mean, look at other players that he had success with. He turned Stetson Bennett into a Heisman finalist, two-time national champ. Ryan Fitzpatrick had his highest yards per attempt season under Munkin. Baker Mayfield with the Browns in 2019, despite the team struggling, had a career high, almost 4,000 yards. Like, this guy knows how to maximize a quarterback. Jackson Dart actually is a pretty good fit for him. And the one thing I love about his style, and probably a reason that people... why the Ravens get in trouble in the playoffs sometimes, is that he is 100% the most aggressive play caller you're going to find. He wants to take shots. He wants to be aggressive. He wants to attack. He doesn't care about turnovers all the time. Jackson Dart is a good fit for that because Jackson Dart's an aggressive player. He wants to attack. He wants to score. He wants to win. Munkin coaches his offense like that. Like, he wants to always be scoring. But the one thing I think is really cool, and I think this actually is a good fit for Tyrone Tracy, because Tyrone Tracy is really good vertically. He's not great horizontally, like bouncing it outside and stuff like that. Sometimes he is. But he's really good in a straight line and kind of like weaving in between tackles or tacklers. Munkin loves to create spacing. Like, his entire thing is spacing. He wants defenders to be covering as much space as possible, so he gets them, he opens up vertical lanes to run the football. So I think that from a running perspective, a Tyrone Tracy and Cam Scottabo backfield would be really exciting under Munkin. And I do think that because Jackson Dart is more of a quarterback than a runner, a little bit different than Lamar Jackson, I think it's going to be a little bit of an easier transition. I do think that Munkin is actually a decent fit for this system, just the way he calls plays and the aggressiveness he brings.
He's definitely a good fit. I would actually argue right now Jackson Dart's probably more of a runner than he is a quarterback. He needs to be a better quarterback. His legs are elite, but he needs to be a
better quarterback. Lamar was more of a runner than Dart was.
Yeah, of course. But regardless, I think we made some really good points there on Munkin. Alex, I know you said you had a few bullet points on red flags potentially. You know, why?
For Harbaugh.
Like you said, yeah, devil's advocate on John Harbaugh. Okay. Let's go over a couple more of those if you have any more, just because I do think it's important to not just sit here and have a glaze fest on John Harbaugh as much as we love him, as much as we want him to be the next head coach of the Giants. Okay, why might it not work out? Why might the Giants give it a second thought if they ever do?
So there's two other points I'd like to bring up. The one, it's, and you kind of mentioned it before, he's a playoff underachiever. Yeah, he's won a lot of away games, but they find ways to lose. He'll go 12-5 and lose in the wild card. That's a big fault that people have about Mike McCarthy, is that he'll get you to the playoffs. He just won't win in the playoffs. And, you know, it's a personnel thing. It's an aggression thing. There's a lot of different factors that go into losing a football game, obviously. I mean, the Ravens should be in the playoffs. Their kicker just missed a game-winning field goal. Like, it's that simple. But, you know, I do think that sometimes it has become a trend that his teams tend to kind of blow up at home in the playoffs a lot, and on the road they actually perform quite well. The second thing, Anthony, before I hand it back to you, and there's actually two more things that kind of go hand in hand slightly. The second one is he doesn't call plays, right? So like, he's not going to be able to, he's a CEO coach. He's not a McVay or a Shanahan. Like, he's not going to be able to dictate the flow of the game at some times because of his inability to call plays. That's never been a problem for him, but his coordinators are critical. Like, who he brings in as coordinators is of the utmost importance to his strategy and style and his programmatic build. So if he gets the coordinators right, you're looking at a really good situation. If he doesn't get them right, you're like, get us the hell out of this situation. You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of the other fear.
Yeah.
So the third one, I'll just, before I pass it on to you to kind of answer all these, it's the rebuild energy. Like, does he have it in him to rebuild the Giants the way they need to be? That's the other question. I would argue yes. But it is a question after spending 18 years with the Ravens, like, new project, big market. Is this what he wants? I'm curious to see more about that if we get to, you know, hear from him in the next couple weeks.
Well, on that point, I just think that's what the Harbaugh brothers love to do. They just love to build programs. Like, you saw it with Jim Harbaugh. He built a program at Stanford, national championship. Then he went to the San Francisco 49ers, built an elite program there. Then he went to Michigan, rebuilt that program, national championship. And now he's back in the NFL with the Chargers, rebuilt them into a playoff perennial contender and a peer. So, I mean, yeah, they love to build programs. That's evidenced by Jim Harbaugh. And John Harbaugh built and sustained a program for nearly two decades in Baltimore. So that one, I'm not very concerned concerned by. Now, the play calling aspect and the flow of the game. Let's talk about the flow of the game part of it, because I think that's a big point to bring up. Because that's something that I did bring up. Todd Monken, like I said, sometimes he'll have a dominant first half, and then in the second half, they kind of fizzle out. Or they'll have a slow start to the first half, then they'll all of a sudden turn up the heat in the second half, but they'll situationally blow it with the play calling at the end. That is something that, that is a flaw that you run into when your head coach is that CEO type, and he's not dictating the flow of the game, and he is delegating that to his coordinators. You're right, that could be a cause for concern. So I think that's a good point to bring up. Now, I'm not necessarily concerned by John Harbaugh not calling plays, and I'm definitely not concerned about his ability to bring in coordinators. I think that Zachary Orr, the defensive coordinator right now with the Baltimore Ravens, that was a miss. I think he's probably going to recognize that. I doubt he gets hired by a new team and brings Zachary Orr over with him, because those new teams probably aren't going to want Zachary Orr running their defense after what just happened with the Baltimore Ravens. I think John Harbaugh is going to find new coordinators, and they're probably going to be elite coordinators. Like I made the comparison when Stefanski hired Jim Schwartz, when Nick Sirianni hired Vic Fangio to be his defensive coordinator. I anticipate that if John Harbaugh is stepping into a new environment here, building a new program, he's going to go down that path. He's going to hire elite, proven track record coordinators. That could be Monken, which is why we spent so much time discussing him, because I think this is a really important part of the process. Who would Harbaugh hire as his coordinators is a very big question to answer. So we spent so much time discussing that. But even on the defensive side of the ball, I think that he would go all in on bringing in an elite guy to run that unit, not an unproven commodity like Zach Orr was, not an unproven commodity as in somebody who's never been a defensive coordinator before. No, I think he brings in experience. I think he builds an absolute beast of a coaching staff, knowing this is the New York Giants. They have been stuck in the gutter for a very long time. I've been tasked with rebuilding this program. How do I jumpstart that process? How do I make them win games as soon as possible? I bring in experienced coaches and coordinators like I am myself. Harbaugh will look at it and say, I'm an experienced coach. That's what the Giants need right now is experience. I'm not going to take a shot on an inexperienced coordinator. I'm just going to hire the three, special teams is important too, the three best coordinators for the job immediately. So that's what I think that Harbaugh would do. And like I said, if you look at his coaching tree for the entirety of his career in Baltimore, he has never had a problem attracting top coordinators to the job. He has never had a problem also developing coordinators, also bringing in assistants who develop into coordinators. He's just great at identifying coaching talent. And that is a very rare trait. And that's why he is such an elite program builder. That's the real one point that I need to sell home for Giants fans right now. The reason why John Harbaugh had so much success in Baltimore is because he can scout coaching talent. That's so rare. It's one thing for a guy to be very good schematically, to know how to scout players and know which players fit into his offensive or defensive scheme, you know, like you would get maybe with a Halfley or a Shula or somebody like that, or Kubiak. Those guys will know how to build their scheme. They will know who to plug into that scheme, but they won't know which coaches necessarily to help them build that scheme and build that program. That's where John Harbaugh separates himself from everybody else. He can bring in the best coaching staff possible, and the Giants desperately need an overhaul on their coaching staff. So that's the final point that I'll make positively about John Harbaugh. I think he is the number one coach for the New York Giants to pursue because of his ability to rebuild a program and build out an absolute all-star lineup coaching staff. So, Alex, any closing thoughts or points that you have on John Harbaugh? I'll let him rip. I know he's probably your number one candidate. Actually, you know what? That's where I'll end this. Rank them. Rank your top three Giants head coaching candidates. Let's get a little spicy to end this thing off. Yeah, I'm getting aggressive about it. Rank them. Let me hear your top three candidates.
My top three candidates right now, Harbaugh has to be one. Even if you have reservations about him, he is the most proven coach that could possibly be on the market. He is in the same like wealth of Mike Tomlin. Like, you know, if Mike Tomlin were to become available and John Harbaugh is available, it's like, okay, like now who do you pick? Like that's kind of, he's in that type of tier. So you go with Harbaugh because on day one, your program's changed forever. On day one, your program has changed forever. So I think that that's kind of interesting. People will say like, oh, well, like, you know, he's a little bit older, blah, blah, blah. Mike McCarthy is the same age, I think, as John Harbaugh. So it's like, if you like Mike McCarthy and you're not concerned about his age, probably shouldn't be concerned about Harbaugh's age either. But with that being said, Harbaugh's number one, has to be. I think I have to put Stefanski too, just because he's also two-time coach of the year, like, you know, has the ability to have good coordinators. He really likes Jackson Dart, like, probably has a good plan for him. He's just another proven commodity, and people say he's not proven, he sucks. I get that. But, like, Chris Shula could suck, guys. Like, Halfley could suck. Minter could suck. Kubiak could suck. We don't know who's going to be good. What I do know is that one guy's won a Super Bowl, another guy's a two-time coach of the year in the last 5 years. So, like, I have to put those guys one and two. My three is probably Chris Shula, because I do love Sean McVay that much, and I do think that learning under him for 8 years is that valuable. And the coaching tree and the options you're going to have at your disposal is going to be worth its weight in gold. So right now, you know, it really is just the two experienced guys, Harbaugh, Stefanski. Mike McCarthy gets pushed out of my top three because of those guys becoming available, and Chris Shula is probably at three. That's where my rankings stand at the moment.
Yeah, I think at the moment – I've had a real tonal shift here, because for a while it was Chris Shula number one for me. I really wanted him. I loved the idea of, you know, his ceiling, and I loved the idea of getting a guy who is Sean McVay's protege. Now it's John Harbaugh number one. He's the floor raiser that the Giants need. Number two, it is Stefanski for me. I think, you know, I'm a little bit contrarian. I think Stefanski's perfect for the job. Like, I really like Kevin Stefanski. I know a lot of Giants fans don't necessarily agree with me. I did my video breakdown a couple episodes ago. Guys, go check that out if you haven't seen it. And I know that a lot of Giants fans commented on that saying, hey, I changed their minds, which is really awesome. That's why I'm going to keep doing these breakdowns and give you guys my opinions on these. So Stefanski's number two for me. And Shula's actually tumbled outside of the top three for me, Alex. Now that I've seen where this head coaching search is going and I've really evaluated it, the Giants need experience, in my opinion. Mike McCarthy's number three for me. Now, that might be a very boring list for a lot of Giants fans. A lot of you might say, oh, just all retreads, you know, what are you doing? You know, the Giants are, you know, I get it. It's the reason that you feel that way is because you've actually seen those guys be head coaches, so you know their flaws. That is better than not knowing what the flaws possibly could be on an unproven commodity. That's what we just learned with Brian Daboll. That's what we learned with Joe Judge. So that's the argument that I'll make. I just think the Giants probably need to go in a different direction and bring in a former head coach this time around. So those are my top three candidates for now. We might do a breakdown episode on Friday, Alex. In fact, I have something planned for that. Stay tuned to the channel, guys. We'll probably talk about the head coaching candidates. Maybe my rankings look completely different in 2 days. It's a whirlwind right now. The news is rapid. It's changing constantly. And there's all of this information that just keeps pouring in. And that's why we're having so much fun breaking down this head coaching search and cycle here on Fireside Giants. So make sure to leave a like if you enjoyed. Subscribe to the channel if you're new. Ring the bell so you don't miss an episode. And comment your thoughts down below in the comment section. If you're listening to Apple or Spotify, make sure to leave us a 5-star review. And go ahead and follow us on all of our social media channels at Fireside Giants. Without further ado, we'll catch you on the next one. Have a good one. And let's go New York Giants. Perfect.